This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. What I feel over there at W. Ross McDonald School, really nice for the students, but also, Ramya, the component I really enjoyed was the fundraising, whether it's through the goal ball game or the pizza. I just think it's so wonderful for school stuff, but also to help others out, and it makes you feel really good, and I think that's a wonderful thing to get students helping with, because who is so unselfish that way of giving of their time and anxious to help somebody else as students?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, not just W. Ross, any school, any project where staff and students can kind of get together, think of really fun and innovative ways to support externally, right? Like support other organizations, fund other projects and initiatives. It's always like I looked forward to a lot of that stuff in high school.
And I think that was your favorite thing. Like when it came to fundraising.
We had a group called Interact, which was a branch of Rotary International, and we used to sell cupcakes every Thursday. So we'd rotate on who makes the cupcakes, who decorates them, and how we go around selling them. And it was so much fun during our lunch hour.
I'd go.
We got
and
to eat the rest leftover cupcakes.
Oh, that would be. Yeah, I'll fundraise, but that's unfortunate. Didn't sell. Hand it down the table, please. I'll take that. Yeah, I would go spend my money, but I would tend to whatever they needed help. Somebody said, "Hey, we're doing this to okay." Yeah, Kel, you're not doing anything. Nope, sure, let's go. And I always thought that was fun to be a part of, and it just made you feel good. Folks, let's welcome in for our woodworking segment, Jeff Thompson.
Let's talk wood. We're talking practical and safe woodworking. Hi, I'm Jeff Thompson. Welcome to the Woodpile.
Well, I think we're going to have some fun today, and folks, I guarantee it's going to give you some ideas as we work our way through our woodworking segment with Jeff Thompson. Today, we're talking about some really nice, quick, and easy holiday projects for all ages. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right. Do you have some Christmas feel out there?
Yeah, we've got the cold down here, but yeah, talking about Christmas gifts and, you know, I think the first thing to talk about is the safety first, because if you're going to be giving gifts to kids and stuff, you want to make sure if they're going to be gnawing on them that you don't have finishes or paints on them that are bad. So look out for that. And even the types of woods can be a problem too.
Mm. I'm interested too, because a family, you know, if you have your wood shop, it might not necessarily be the place that some of the members in the family that you may want to intrigue in this are generally a part of. So I guess the safety issue really comes in. And also that also might mean, hey, we're going to get some of the other family members that maybe haven't shown much of an interest interested in out in the shop.
Yeah. There's a, you know, sometimes you can bring people in and actually have them help make the gifts and stuff and make it a family event like that. I've had that happen too, you know, but main thing is just safety first and you go from there.
Okay. Should we start with some of the holiday gift ideas, sir?
Yeah. One of them that I have done and is nice to do is if you can get a limb of a tree, I mean, just don't go to your neighbor's house and cut a limb off. But if you have a limb of a tree that's about the size of a coaster, you can cut those narrow enough and make coasters and put in a nice little bow around it. And, you know, as a little token type gift and stuff. And with some of these things I've seen where people, and I've done it a little bit, but you can even put a brand right on your logo, your woodworking shop logo.
That's kind of fun. I like the idea of that, and it's definitely starting at easy. Can you talk about the types of wood to use and maybe what to stay away from with coasters?
Well, one of Kelly's favorites is the cedar, the aromatic cedar. But not everybody, all our DNA is different, you know. So some people are sensitive to that, and some people are sensitive to certain oaks. So, you know, if you're going to give something to a child or something, talk to the parents about that. Speaking of the cedar, another gift is, you know, cedar closets. Some people may not be able to line their whole closet with it, but if you take a piece of cedar, like a round piece, and drill a hole in it, you can slide it over a hanger and put it in the closet. So you can hang these in the closet and have that smell, like a stocking stuffer type of gift.
So when you do something like that, or if you could line it, and that was something someone wanted to do, in your judgment, how long, since we're talking about Kelly and his favorite cedar, how long does the smell actually stay? Is there a time period in the age of wood, you know, of that kind of wood, where whether you got used to it or just does the smell fade?
I made a cedar cabinet for my wife, and I did that 15, 14 years ago. And I can still open it. I did not put any finish on the inside. Right. It smells like cedar.
Oh,
So, I mean, I'm sure if you leave it out in the rain and everything,
certainly.
Something like in a closet, it retains its heat. Or if it overheats, like, I don't know if saunas smell like cedar anymore, but, you know, it's one of those woods that has the smell in it. And gosh, I don't recognize it fading away. I always can tell, hey, there's cedar around here.
And you would just be able to really just put it up in that instance, wouldn't you? Without finishing.
Yeah. You know, and just a little stocking stuffer, like if you got a piece of cedar in your stocking, and, you know, you'd be able to tell right away what it would be. You know, it's one of those type of little gifts. Some people put them like in their dresser drawer, like the sock drawer or something.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Some people put soap or something, but little knickknacks like that. I mean, if you ever have cedar and you make a project out of it and you have leftover, it's not waste. You can do something with it, and that's just one of the ideas for doing with the cedar, is a little stocking stuffer type of thing like that for people who like it. You know,
would you do coasters with them?
Why not?
Yeah, I was trying to think of it. Why not?
Real good.
Yep.
Well, it repels water real good. It's one of the best for that. So that, yeah, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. I was thinking more like a birch. Where you like a branch, so you could kind of leave on the bark a little bit, you know, have that rustic look to it, and you know, just one of them things. Yeah, it's preference. If you make it for someone, they'll like it and they'll take it, and then they'll talk about it later.
Right. So, anything you want to say about branding our products?
Well, the branding thing is kind of a. You really want to know what you're doing there. But in this research, I looked up, they now make a branding iron that you plug in, and you can use your drill press, unplug the drill press. You don't want it to spin, but it heats up, and then you can make like a little jig and put your coaster in or whatever you're branding, and you can lower it down, press, lift up, and do it just like a process like that. So it's a lot safer than the way I was shown how to do it years ago. By using a guide and heat and flame and all that. This is just like plugging in a purling iron or plugging in a toaster or something. But then you just lower it down, you press, you hold, lift up, and keep moving. But, you know, that's for someone who's doing more projects where you're going to do more than one. You're going to probably do 20, 50 if you're going to have a large family, just want them all to have coasters or something.
Nice. And as you say, that the older method could be a little bit dangerous. So something like that is nice.
Yeah, when I came across that, that was like the ticket right there. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a ticket for anybody. It's just simple. You don't have to have flame. You know, that's a big thing.
So when we talk about the hanger center, what's that?
Well, that's like what I would do is I would like. Say I made cedar coasters that just didn't turn out right. Well, I would drill out the center and slide it over a hanger, and that's where how you
and
would put it in your closet.
Right, for our smell or whatever. That's great. Okay. Or somewhere else that you may want to hang
clothing.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Or you can put, like a little piece of lace in there and put a pine cone with it and hang it from the closet or somewhere. A lot of smells like that. The wood is good. And your favorite aromatic cedar is the best for that.
Oh, and it would just, what a feel. And especially this time of the year. How about kids? What can we make for them?
Well, as I was talking about scraps and stuff like that, you know, if you have a lot of pine, if you cut them into uniform shapes and then different shapes and stuff, I remember as a kid, my grandpa had this little pail and he'd set it in front of me and I would start building anything. You know, to me, it was something, you know, everyone else looking, well, he's busy. but that little
constructive he'll be quiet. He's
pieces,
busy.
Yeah. But like Tinker Toys is a form of something. But we just had these blocks. We used to build like little walls and then take our little toys and climb over them and stuff or whatever. So they're useful, especially for like 2-3, you know, year olds, for, you know, who don't know that it doesn't have batteries and it doesn't plug in and all that type of stuff. But, you know, that leads into a more adult or family type of thing that everyone can play is Jenga. And that's a real cool thing to build, and it's very easy to build.
Yeah, okay. I think that Jenga could be easy. I mean, if you got the technique down to make the uniform blocks, right?
Well, the thing is, they make 2x4 construction, but they also make 2x3s construction pieces. They're already cut. You just have to cut the 7-inch length because they come in at 1.5 by 2.5. So if you take 3 2.5s, that equals 7. So if you set 3 side by side and then go up 18 tiers, it's all the same. So all you have to do is cut the one cut and then sand it down a little bit. But the game is really cool because you set 3 in a row side by side, then you turn 90 degrees and set another row, and mm-hmm. then you keep going all the way up and stack it up. And the object is to slide them out and then set it up on top. And so a professional could get, let's see, 18 tiers. You could go up to 36 tiers if you did it perfectly right. But, you know, the fun of it is, you know, the kids stacking it and all that stuff. But it's one of those family type of outings when you have, you know, an event going on. It's something that people can sit around and watch and laugh and stuff like that. But it's also, you know, one of those processes where you just keep cutting and then you have to sand it down. So if you have some friends around that, like you said, you know, the family gathering and stuff and workshop, you can sit down and have a sanding party and, you know, feed them and talk and chat and just like sitting on the porch there whittling with the dog sleeping next to you.
Well, and you get that feel if you were making, whether it's for your family or other families, like you think back to, you know, times when Dad or Grandpa made things like that, and you know what is so and so on for Christmas, and you know ended up making something like a Jenga set or whatever, and even including, hey, we're making for cousin and so on, then the family over there, this item, and it took that time, you know, maybe from the summer working on something, then whittling it down, doing this, polishing, and making sure that wood was safe to use.
Yeah, and I think that's part of woodworking, especially when I was teaching with the students and stuff. When it came to sanding and people sitting around sanding, you get so many conversations going on and stuff. And then, you know, those projects that they made or, you know, like the Jenga set or something, you know, years later you can say, you know, Grandpa made that, you know, it's, what is it? You know, and there it starts again, you know. It's, you know, you find a level area right on the patio and everyone's sitting around and it's your turn, you know, that type of thing. So if you ever want to look up Jenga, it's really easy. You can ask your smart device on it and everything like that. And, you know, with a click ruler, all you have to do is measure this out, and sanding is, you know, it's all touch and stuff like that. So most of these projects that we just talked about is just simple projects that, you know, don't take a lot of figuring out. One good cut here and there and you're pretty much got her done. So it's nice and easy, and even your scrap wood can make little construction blocks for kids to play with, take up their time, you know.
What have you found, or in your, and again, I know I'm asking you to kind of guess this because you did bring up at the top, being safe, but also keep in mind if you're doing a project for somebody else, allergies. Is it the wood that we would think might bother someone if, you know, if you do ask that question? Is it relatively common? Is it something that you've come up against, whether it be the wood or the finish, that we need to double check, that people should know, hey man, yeah, if somebody, you're buying something or you're someone's making something for you, you probably got to let them know that you or maybe one of your children is allergic. Is that a relatively common thing to run into?
I wouldn't say it's common to run into, but when you do, it could be, you know, very
It'd
important thing to know.
Yeah.
Like tung oil, that's T-U-N-G. It comes from a nut from China, but that's nut. And so technically, if you give a kid, you wouldn't use that on like wooden silverware that they use for like tongs or like for salads and stuff. You wouldn't use tung oil on a bowl, because that introduces a nut product. You know, I don't know if it's going to scrape off, but, you know, through usage, it has a potential. And then the smell, some people, like you said, allergies and stuff, there's certain woods that aren't recommended, especially when you're cutting them. So the safety of making the stuff, when you're cutting them, you're releasing a lot of these, I would say, pores or fibers into the air, and you're breathing them. That's why we always wear a mask. And, you know, to know what you're cocoa boa is not a good wood for people. They tend to, you know, and some, so look up the woods that you're looking about, just some curiosity sometimes, you know, but mostly your pines, your spruce, your local native woods, you would know about that. But when you're introducing species that are foreign to the area, some surprises could come up, and you don't want to have that happen.
No, especially give somebody a gift and it's not good for one reason or another, or have somebody in the shop. Let's have some fun. Jeff, as usual, wonderful. Thank you very much. Great information. We'll let you keep some of that cold for a little longer. We're probably getting enough of a dose here. We'll let you have that much of the Christmas feel for now. Take care of yourself out there in Minnesota.
All right. Happy holidays.
We'll talk to you next month on the program. When Jeff returns to the program, we'll be talking about tips for battery-operated tools and best practices. Well, when it comes to that, we talk woodworking on the first Tuesday of the month right here on Kelly & Company with Jeff Thompson. I never thought a lot about the allergy thing, so I really love that Jeff brought that forward, because it is something to be concerned about. We'll stop for a moment. We'll take a deep breath and be back to tell you what's coming up on Now with Dave Brown, when Paul Daniel joins us next. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.